This podcast is called A Little Daylight Game, the story of two militant suffragettes. It is a dramatisation based on Home Office files at the National Archives that was produced by the Education and Outreach Department.
I'm pleased it is a clear night, Florence. Have you brought the claw hammer? We don't want to make too much noise when we enter the hotel.
Do you think there will be many people staying in the hotel?
I shouldn't think so. It is out of season and they're decorating it for the summer. Quick, let's try this window here. Give me the soap and the cotton wool. We'll be inside in no time.
Have the phosphorus jar ready. Where shall we put it for best effect?
Let's go upstairs and we can put two pieces of phosphorus in different rooms. We don't want to be in here too long though. There, that should do it. The government should start taking note of our campaign now. Let's make our escape and get back to our lodgings.
Thus, on the night of 28th of April 1914, Hilda Birkett and Florence Tunks, two militant suffragettes, committed arson on the Bath Hotel in Felixstowe. It was estimated to have caused £30,000 worth of damage. Previously, they had burnt two stacks of wheat, valued at hundreds of pounds, at Bucklesham Barn and Stratton nearby. Both women were soon remanded and taken to prison. A report dated 2nd of May 1914 from Suffolk East Constabulary detailed the arrest of Hilda Birkett, also known as Hilda Byron, and Florence Tunks. Birkett was described as aged 36 years, 5 foot 2 inches tall, with brown hair and eyes. Tunks was described as aged 26 but looking older, 5 foot 7 inches tall, having flaxen hair and having grey eyes and spectacles. A scene from Felixstowe Police Station the following day, led by a local magistrate.
Superintendent Lingley, can I call upon you to commence the proceedings?
At around 4:30 yesterday morning, the Bath Hotel was discovered to be on fire. After further inquiries, at about 1:30 p.m, I went to the prisoners' lodgings. I informed them of who I was and informed the accused the Bath Hotel had been set on fire. I stated that due to other fires in the district, an observation had been kept on them. I informed them I strongly suspected that they were responsible for setting fire to the hotel. I asked them if they wished to give an account of themselves as to where they were the previous night, as I had already ascertained they weren't at their lodgings.
How did you ascertain that? I should like to know.
Miss Birkett, I will give you an opportunity to speak presently. Let the superintendent proceed.
I asked for their names and addresses, but after some hesitation, they both declined. I told them to consider themselves to be in custody and brought them to the station. Possession was taken of their belongings. I asked that the prisoners be remanded for 8 days in custody, pending further inquiries.
I wish to know how it was I was arrested without a warrant and why our rooms were searched. I did not think such things were possible. After all, what are warrants for? This was done without a warrant.
That is not a matter for me. Have you any questions for the superintendent?
It's just not worth it. All these men against two women.
Do you have any reason why you should not be remanded?
I don't consider it is right to arrest me without a warrant. I'm not guilty. There is no reason why I should be remanded.
Why did you withhold your name and address?
I didn't want to give any information at all. How did you find out we were not in our lodgings?
That is private information.
You mean spies, I suppose. Curse them.
You will be remanded for 8 days in custody.
I declined bail anyway. I want my crochet hook and books and things.
Hilda and Florence were removed from the court, laughing and smiling. They were conveyed to Ipswich Prison. On arrival at the Suffolk prison, both went on immediate hunger strike. An article printed in the Suffragette newspaper claimed that the two women were then forcibly fed 3 times a day whilst in prison. Prison records kept at the National Archives illustrate the cruel and monotonous routine of force-feeding women like Hilda and Florence. Here is an example read from a prison medical officer's report.
17th June report. Prisoner had a bad night. Vomited about 3 ounces of last evening's feed. Fed esophageal tube. Retained practically all food. Hysterical. Goes to exercise. General condition is satisfactory.
Later on in their incarceration, the records described the physical deterioration of Hilda by late June 1914.
Appeared to have a good night, indigestion is a little better, but she is still losing weight and is now below 7 stone, given an extra feed at 8 p.m. last night. This will continue if it does not upset the stomach. She retained all food after the 4th feed, but vomited 4 ounces after the 3rd feed. Fed esophageal tube, retained all food, is less hysterical, general condition satisfactory.
Hilda was one of the first suffragettes to endure force feeding during her first incarceration in Winston Green Prison, Birmingham, during 1909. Visiting committee minutes record what happened.
In the case of Hilda Birkett, it was necessary to apply the tube. She was held by the wardresses in an armchair, and a towel was passed around her waist and around the chair. The application of the tube caused a lot of retching.
By 1914, Hilda was both a seasoned campaigner and a victim of government-sanctioned artificial feeding. The local press appeared to be hostile towards the suffragette cause. Here is an extract from the Morning Post following the fire at the Bath Hotel.
Seaside hotel destroyed by fire. Suspected suffragettes arrested. There is no doubt that the fire was the result of incendiarism, inflammable material being the deliberate cause. Various suffragist leaflets were found in the grounds. One of these read, "No peace till the vote is given." 2 women, suspected of being suffragists, were arrested in the afternoon on a charge of having been concerned in the alleged incendiarism. They refused to give their names and will be brought up before the judges today.
On Friday the 8th of May, Hilda and Florence were due to stand trial at the Felixstowe Court. Mindful of the state of public opinion, the local police drafted in additional officers to assist outside the court. That day, a vast crowd gathered around the town hall. Amongst their ranks were several prominent supporters.
Give us our
rights! Vote for women!
Vote for women!
No!
Give us
our
rights!
However, as the hour approached, it became obvious, through a lack of court staff present, that no court would be held that day. The 2 accused had been remanded in custody for a further week by the judge. And so the scene replayed again on Friday the 15th of May. A newspaper report captured the scene.
As Miss Birkett stepped from the car, she appeared to be in a slightly fainting condition and had to be helped into the building by the superintendent. Miss Tunks, on the other hand, strode in boldly. Both ladies refused to enter the actual courtroom. This resulted in them having to be carried into the room. The courtroom was packed, but it still left hundreds outside. Cheering, laughing, and shouts of protest followed almost every remark made by the accused. Amongst the crowd were once again several suffragette supporters.
The 2 accused, Miss Birkett and Miss Tunks, are before this court today charged with 3 crimes. The 1st indictment, willfully setting fire to 2 wheat stacks at Bucklesham Barn, property of Mr. Prettyman. The 2nd, of setting fire to a stack at Stratton Hall, property of Mr. Dawson. And the third, for both setting fire to the Bath Hotel on the morning of Tuesday, the 28th of April.
How amusing.
Mr. Boyd, the prosecutor, begins the case.
Sir, in submission, I hope to prove that each of these fires was the work of someone or some persons interested in the militant side of the suffrage movement.
Votes for women! Yeah.
Forgive me, but I forgot that women are denied a voice as well as the right to vote.
But not all of us are prepared to be silent, isn't that right, Florence?
This court wishes to give you a fair and just hearing. You are doing yourselves no favours by carrying on so. Please continue, Mr. Boyd.
Sir, the prosecution intends to show that the three fires were the work of persons involved with the militant suffragette movement, that the two ladies before this court were closely associated with that side of the movement, a fact clearly shown by the discovery and nature of literature found in their possession at time of arrest. The content of find gives strong grounds, and at the time of the fires, these ladies were carrying out a campaign of destruction.
We value human life much more than property.
Both women were identified by the housemaid of a house they stayed at Ipswich between the 18th and 24th of April. Another witness saw them near the location of the burnt haystacks. Mr. Boyd continued the prosecution.
Sir, I would like to draw the attention of the court to an item found amongst the luggage when arrested, a bottle of water containing lumps of phosphorus, and call upon Mr. Douthwaite, a chemist, to explain its properties.
Sirs, the bottle contains phosphorus and eucalyptus water. Phosphorus is a material that ignites spontaneously when heated and has to be kept in water. I carried out a test, and it fired in the sun within a quarter of an hour. It would take much longer to combust without sunlight.
Do you really think that if this were placed under a stack of hay, it would be capable of getting enough heat to ignite?
There is no doubt that it would kindle quickly if the hay was protected from a cold wind.
Returning to the events of Friday, 24th April. Having established the two accused had visited the Stover or Wheat Stack at Stratton Hall, they were then seen cycling towards Bucklesham Barn. It was here, at about 5 o'clock in the evening, that two wheat stacks belonging to Mr. Prettyman were found to be on fire. Again, suffragette literature was found at the scene. Labels inscribed Votes for Women and Women Torturers Must Go.
Hear, hear. We have had quite enough torture this week.
Also found amongst the ladies' luggage a diary, and against the date of Friday 24th, the entry, A Little Daylight Gained. May I suggest that, while it may be daylight gained for the defendants, it was bad for the unfortunate farmers who found their property destroyed. The total value of the stacks amounts to nearly £800. Thus, having had their little daylight game, the accused went to Felixstowe on the 25th April and took rooms at Mayflower Cottage.
As part of the investigation against Birkett and Tunks, the constabulary used entries from Birkett's diary obtained during the arrests. Fascinatingly, it recorded almost daily incidents in a code of the successful and unsuccessful attempts of suffragette protest. The police soon surmised that phrases such as no go or no good meant unsuccessful outrages, whilst ball, dance, wish drive, Cinderella dance and a little daylight game all meant successful outrages. The trial entered its second day with a large crowd giving the women a hostile reception on their arrival. Mr. Boyd, the prosecutor, continued his summary.
Previous to the blaze that destroyed the Bath Hotel, there had also been a fire at Great Yarmouth. The two accused had come to Great Yarmouth on the 11th of April. On the night of the 16th April, they had told their landlady they were going to Galston and would be away that night. There was no meeting at Galston that night, but the Britannia Pier Pavilion in Great Yarmouth was burnt down. Damage was done that exceeded £15,000.
Why are none of my friends allowed in this court? I wish to have my friends present.
Not only were the accused in Great Yarmouth at the time of the fire, but a label with similar inscriptions to those found at the other fires described was found close to the pier. In addition, their baggage contained a number of illustrated photographic representations of the burning of the pavilion.
In fact, the two women were never actually charged with the arson at the pavilion. Mr. Boyd concluded the case for the prosecution.
Hilda Burkett and Florence Tunks, you are charged with causing three fires. Two wheat stacks on the 24th of April, a Stover stack on 26th April, and the arson on the Bath Hotel Felixstowe on 28th April. Do you wish to put forward any defence?
Hilda, forever rebellious, replied first and included an attack on the Home Secretary, Reginald McKenna.
I defy the law, I defy the police, and I defy McKenna to keep me in prison for very long. Torture me as he may, I shall get out sometime.
After an adjournment of a day, the jury returned their verdict. Both women stood in the dock accompanied by their warders, but before this was given, the judge allowed Hilda to address the jury.
I would like to begin by saying again that I do not believe that justice can be had to women in this court. Why? Because it's entirely made up of men. Neither can I expect to state my case properly. I've been in prison and forcibly fed and tortured. This leaves me feeling weak and ill. How can I concentrate my thoughts? I have received no privileges during my confinement, been denied my books, and have lacked exercise. All that has been left to me is to think of the awful torture of feeding tubes three times a day. I would like to read out a written statement.
At this point, the judge volunteered to read out the statement for her.
No, thank you. A great deal of fuss has been made over a little property being destroyed, but women are risking their lives and liberty in order to bring the wrongs of their sex to the notice of the world. For 40 years or more, brave women have struggled for such a cause. Their peaceful protest was refused a hearing. Militancy was thus thrust upon us. We had no other choice. We will not surrender. Ridicule, torture, and prison will not deter us. When will our suffering be redressed?
Similarly, Florence made comments in support of the movement.
I am proud and glad that I stand with my friend here today. If you find me guilty, I will come out of prison. I will be the victor.
After the jury found both Hilda and Florence guilty, the judge asked them to stand.
I have taken into consideration your motives, your misguided motives, in the cause you were pursuing, and I shall now pass sentence. Miss Hilda Burkett, I sentence you to 2 years imprisonment. Miss Florence Tunks, I believe that you are the tool of other people and that you desired notoriety. I sentence you to 9 months imprisonment.
Hilda and Florence were initially sent to Ipswich Jail, but later transferred to Holloway Women's Prison in Islington, London. It was here that National Archive records illustrate their cruel treatment. Hilda continued her protest, this time against not being allowed to buy her own toothbrush whilst in Holloway. A report detailed this episode. A medical officer reported,
"Fit of temper this morning on being refused her own toothbrush from outside. She would not use a prison toothbrush. She broke all the panes of her cell as a protest. No ill effects are apparent."
Perhaps the testimony of a fellow suffragette imprisoned in Holloway, also in the summer of 1914, can help explain Hilda's early release. Mary Richardson, who had been imprisoned for vandalism at the National Gallery, wrote this on the 28th of July.
"Miss Hilda Burkett, she suffers agonies with her nerves. She is quite alone and is being forcibly fed four times a day. She is sick after every feeding. She has lost over a stone in weight. Her throat is in a terrible condition. Miss Burkett has now been fed over 250 times. It is beyond cruel."
Perhaps by August 1914, Hilda had just had enough of the mental and physical abuse inflicted upon her by the authorities. Her cause was a just one, pursued by militant means in an age of ignorance and predominant masculine norms. She and Florence were brave pioneers, and we should be thankful for their courage and determination.